series of...
What's it called?
What's it called? I know.
Who's My Line?
It's Doctor Who.
Yeah. There's been no trailers or anything. You wouldn't know.
No.
Well, I tell you what they're doing. You're proud, aren't they?
Yeah,
I
mean, they do.
They're just everywhere. And you get those in all different times as well. You get those in the 18th century on the BBC One there. And in the future on the Cyberman TV and on the Dalek TV. You get that everywhere. Are you yet fed up with being Doctor Who?
No. It's great. It's the best job in the world, isn't it?
Sorry about that question. That's terrible, isn't
it? No, it's not. I mean, it is all-consuming. It is one of those shows that follows you wherever you go. Obviously, I'm not filming at the moment, but it's still... Well, we're about to come out, so obviously it's everywhere. But even when you're not filming, it touches your life every single day. There's something about Doctor Who happens because somebody sees you or somebody mentions it. And it's an honour to be part of it. I know that sounds a bit naff, doesn't it? But it's true. And it's a genuine privilege to be part of something that people love so much.
Yeah, are you slightly amazed, even after all these years, at the incredible following and changing following all the time?
Obviously, I'm not going to be amazed because they're following the show that we're now doing, which we're all terribly proud of. Why would that be a surprise at all?
But it disappeared for a number of years, and then it came back with Christopher briefly, and then you.
It did.
It's come back with a vengeance, hasn't it?
It never went away, though. That's the thing. It's one of those things.
You're right. Yeah.
And even when it wasn't on the telly all the time, it was still going on. Mm. And every newspaper, if they could put a picture of a Dalek next to a story of anything at all, they would. Yeah. You know, it's one of those sort of cultural icons. It doesn't ever quite go away. And, whatever happens to this series, I don't think Doctor Who will ever quite leave the national consciousness.
And it's a uniquely British phenomenon that has been popular as a mini movie in America and has been popular across the world, really. It's an interesting phenomenon, don't you think? Is it to do with our childhood? What's the popularity all about?
It can't just be that, because if it was just that, it would exist as a nostalgia thing and it wouldn't be still on primetime BBC One. It's obviously got a new audience and has recaptured the old audience as well, I suppose. It's a cult, but that makes it sound like it's a very minority interest, and I don't think it is. No.
In the first episode on Saturday, Doctor Who and new companion medical student Martha Jones, played by Freema Agyeman, find themselves in Tudor London.
No, that's episode two.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. That's episode two, everybody.
Yeah.
Episode two also features the Doctor's first meeting with William Shakespeare as he follows yet another plot to destroy the Earth. So do you get to meet Shakespeare in the first show or the second
show? In the second show, yeah.
Okay, so what happens in the first show? Well, I thought I'd done my research really well.
It was sounding so good.
Yeah.
Martha Jones is a junior doctor, training to be a doctor, and she is in modern day London. She has a brief encounter with somebody odd in the street who takes his tie off, which she shrugs off.
What's the relevance of that?
You find out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You've got a watch.
Yeah. Oh. And then she gets to work, and the hospital she's working in has a bit of a brush with some extraterrestrial life and ends up on the moon.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. So the first episode takes place in a London hospital on the moon.
Wow.
And
is that an NHS-run hospital?
Oh, yeah.
There's no atmosphere there either.
Oh, very good. Well, actually, there is an atmosphere. There's an artificially created one held in place by a force field.
Oh, look at him with all his gadgets and all
then,
his knowledge.
Then the Doctor and his new companion, do you go through the space-time continuum to Tudor times?
Well, that's at the end of the first episode. That's
when we finally head And then Shakespeare in the second episode.
Into the space-time continuum. You do see a little trailer at the end of the first episode, which does include William Shakespeare.
For some smashing opportunities for costume.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, our costume designer, I mean, she loves it, but we nearly kill her. Because every week there's a whole other world to get out. Especially when you go to Elizabethan England, you know, you have to get that right. Because there are people out there who will happily write a letter about the doublets not quite being right or whatever.
They're spending a lot of money on Doctor Who, it seems to me.
Well, they're not spending as much as you think.
I know that. I'm not criticising in any way. I think it's fantastic. I mean, because we remember Doctor Who when it was cardboard sets and Cybermen made out of old Hoover parts.
There's still a use for every Hoover
part. Don't spoil it for me now.
But somehow it was still scary. What's the atmosphere like when you're doing it? Is it very workaday, or do you feel like, wow, I'm on the set of Doctor Who?
I mean, maybe it's just me, but I think that we all kind of love it. There is something about making this show that's just a bit special. Everyone who works on the show has worked on many other television things, and people who've been working in the industry for many, many years, but there's just something about making this.
And that every show has to be a kind of a mini masterpiece?
Well, exactly. It takes 9 months to film a series, which is a long time, but it flies by because it's not like, oh, it's the police station set again, or it's the pub set again, because every 2.5 weeks it completely changes. There's a whole new cast, a whole new set of sets, and each script has its own life as well, so it's a very easy show to stick with.
Steve mentioned the scary aspects of Doctor Who, yeah, which is something we all think of, and hiding behind the sofa and all those gags, but do you think that this time round it is much scarier? Because my little boy's 8, and quite a lot of people have said to me, oh, you know, be careful, because it might be a bit too scary for him. What do you think?
That's a good scary though, isn't it? It's good to be a bit scared as a kid.
Yeah.
And I think kids have a better grasp of what's fiction and what's reality, sure, than we give them credit for. And I think there's a sort of rites of passage to getting a bit scared, isn't there? And Doctor Who, in a way, maybe there's a safety net there. It allows you to know what it is to be scared, but still know it's going to be all right in the end of the day, and the Doctor's going to win through it. It's a thrilling scary rather than...
But don't you think the Doctor's a little scary as well? I mean, you bring a great manic quality to it.
Sometimes. I think he should be. I mean, he's an
alien. Yeah, I think they've all had that quality to them, don't you?
Yeah, your Doctor is... He was almost alarmingly eccentric.
It's like harking back to Patrick Troughton.
Yeah. Wow, I can think nothing finer than having that.
Everybody will ask you this, and I hate to ask it because it's just too corny, but who's your favourite Doctor Who apart from yourself?
Apart from myself?
I'm glad you got in there before me.
I think there is something about this show. It kind of imprints on you as a kid, doesn't it? So I think you have an eternal fondness for the person who you first knew as the Doctor, don't you? Which doesn't mean you can't accept the new ones as they come along, but I mean, for me, Tom Baker was it, because I was born in 71, so growing up through the 70s, it was him.
And very close, his Doctor, very close to his own personality anyway.
Well, so one is led to believe.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why he was so good.
I think so, yeah. Let me just take a break and come back in a sec, if that's all right. You got some time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you okay? You not got to go anywhere?
I'm going nowhere.
He's got all the time in the world. What are you talking about?
Plenty of room in there, isn't there? By the way, seen that police box? David Tennant is with us. He became the 10th Doctor in 2005 and was voted Best Doctor in the 2006 Doctor Who Magazine Awards. He also won Best Actor at the National Television Awards last year. David has an impressive stage CV, including work at the RSC, the National Theatre, and the Donmar Warehouse, and other stuff, movies, TV, and all of that kind of stuff. And he's with us today. We're going to come right back with David Tennant. He's here today. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go away. Become the new Hamlet for actors? Is this a silly question or what?
No, that's an interesting question. I've never been asked that before.
It's an accolade, isn't it? I mean, it's a good thing to do, and it's not got any stigma anymore, I don't think.
I don't think so, no. I hope that it's seen as something quite cool, and it's certainly, for me, it's a very exciting thing to do. I suppose there are fewer opportunities. I mean, there are, I don't know, maybe a couple of Hamlets every year, whereas there's only been 10 Doctors, so I'm in a slightly more exclusive club there, maybe.
What about the new assistant? Tell me about her. She looks great.
Freema Agyeman plays Martha Jones, and very good she is too, yeah. I mean, I think it's tough because everyone loved Rose, and everyone rightly loves Billy, and it's hard to follow on from someone like that, and she would have every right to feel daunted or nervous, but she didn't. She hit the ground running, and she just nails it from episode one. You'll see on Saturday night. She's fantastic.
We'd like to see the Doctor go back down the central line, wouldn't we, looking for the Yeti with Brigadier Lethbridge-Stewart.
Ah, wouldn't we all? Yeah, that's a very nice
idea.
That's
before your time, isn't it?
No, but I've seen it. I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
What about the Daleks? What's Doctor Who's view on the Daleks?
They're hard to beat, aren't they? Well, they're hard to beat in every way. They're hard for the Doctor to beat, but they're so kind of iconic, aren't they? They're just hardwired into everyone's consciousness.
Are they still going to be flying next time we see them?
Oh, yeah.
Really? See, I'm not sure about that. That's my only criticism. I'm not sure about a flying Dalek.
That's how they get up and downstairs. That's how they've conquered the universe up till now. You just didn't see it
before.
They used to. They just cut away to something else.
They just had lifts.
Yeah. You did used to wonder how it was possible that they came out of the sea. With all those pebbles and everything, yeah. When they suddenly come out of the sea.
They're just gently hovering, that's what it is.
By the way, not a lot of filming in quarries. Because there used to be a hell of a lot of quarry filming in a very dull day.
They're dead. There is a little bit this year. I think we had three visits to three different quarries this year. Two quarries, which represent one planet, the planet Malcasario, stay tuned. And we have the occasional visit to a quarry.
Because you want a quarry lonely, scary and grey, don't you?
Yeah. But also, you know, you're filming on an alien planet. Where else do you go?
And you want to see in the distance, don't you, David? You want to see like a bad, scary scary alien in the distance, and the music go down, down, wah, 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 wah.
Oh, yeah. That's very good.
Radiophonic Workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1975.
Unfortunately, they don't exist anymore.
I know. What a shame. But the music's great, and you are terrific
Thank
in it.
Thank you very much.
I mean, I would have to say that you're up there with... My Doctor Who was William Hartnell.
You're not possibly old enough.
I know, I look good. That's my Doctor Who, but I'm having you alongside him.
Thank you very much.
I'm having you alongside
him. I'm
very
proud to stand next to him.
Now, what else are you doing? I read last night on the internet, HBO, BBC Discover Einstein Project.
Yes, I'm doing something called... Well, you know, I was looking at that press release. I thought it was called Einstein and Me, but according to that, it's called Einstein and Eddington. So
Einstein
I'm doing...
a go-go, it'll be eventually. Eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing a thing for the BBC and HBO, and it's about Einstein and Eddington. He was an astrophysicist in Cambridge when Einstein was in Germany, and they never... Well, they do meet briefly at the end, but basically they correspond, and Eddington helped to prove that Einstein was right during the First World War.
So are they saying that Eddington helped Einstein out?
That's exactly what he did.
Without he was responsible for...
Did a lot of the work.
That's it! He did, yeah. No, that's absolutely what happened, and Einstein, without Eddington, may have remained unproven.
We also read that Gollum is playing Einstein.
Andy Serkis
Excellent.
Is playing Einstein,
oh,
yeah.
Great.
Which is fantastic, and I've worked with Andy before, and he's brilliant, but we literally don't get to meet in the film.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Our two stories happen. We write letters to each other, and that's it.
Shame.
Just in case Doctor Who anoraks are listening, just in case.
Anorak's a derogatory term, and I would like to stand up for Doctor Who enthusiasts, who are badly maligned.
I'm not I'm using anoraks in an affectionate style.
Okay, I'll let you off.
All right, let's do a few favourites of Doctor Who. What's Doctor Who's favourite song at the moment?
That's a good question. At the moment...
Yeah.
It's got to be I'm Going to Be 500 Miles, isn't it?
Of course.
Yeah.
What's Doctor Who's all-time favourite movie?
That's really tough.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't prepared for this.
I know.
It would probably be maybe something like 12 Angry Men.
Very good. Doctor Who's favourite colour? I'm doing this for the magazine.
TARDIS blue.
TARDIS blue, okay. You told us your favourite Doctor Who of all time, which was Tom Baker.
Well, the first one I remember. I don't want to pick favourites.
Yeah, your favourite assistant. I think it'll be the new one,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, Freema Agyeman yeah. and Billy Piper.
Yeah,
equal
yeah.
first place.
I feel I helped him out on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Favourite ever episode of yours so far, and favourite ever episode of Doctor Who?
I genuinely don't have a favourite. I genuinely don't, because it's such fun making it, that each one I have such fond memories of. And when I see the finished version of each one, I'm continually thrilled by what they do. So I don't have an absolute favourite.
I remember the very first ever episode that I saw was where the two teachers came round to the house that was knocked down, and there was just a police box
yeah.
in there. Because the girl, the doctor's daughter, whoever it was, the assistant, was behaving badly. So the two teachers came round, and then suddenly they see inside this...
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
They just can't believe it.
Yeah.
They're so shocked.
Yeah. And it's a great scene, isn't it? And you're kind of... It's one of those nice points when the audience is ahead of the person on screen, aren't they? And they're kind of going, oh, they're going to see the TARDIS! And it never disappoints, that scene, does it?
But it's still a fabulous thing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
We all know
yeah.
that when you open the door to the TARDIS, what's going to happen, but it's still somehow incredible.
Oh, it's great.
It's
and you think to yourself, my goodness, they've kept that noise after all this time.
I know. Yeah. You can't beat it. That's the thing. And I think when the show came back, they sort of toyed with the idea of should the TARDIS still be a police box, because kids today won't know what a police box is, but it doesn't matter, it just works, doesn't it? And that noise, it just works. And the theme tune, you can't get rid of things like that.
I mean, it really does. I'm about to play it again in a second. It really does.
It's just evocative, isn't it?
Shoots yeah. right through you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's just, you think,
yeah.
oh, yeah. wow. You can see David Tennant as Doctor Who on Saturday at 7 p.m. BBC One, and again at 7 p.m. on Sunday on BBC Three. Great to see you. Thank you very much, David Tennant.
A real pleasure.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you. David Tennant, everybody, on the Big Show on Radio 2. Today, Miles.
I've got another very handy one to add to the arsenal of sites that people can use to increase their knowledge when they're looking for a new house. This is called homecheck.co.uk, and where this is really good, it gives you the kind of information about a postcode which has always been available to insurance brokers and to lawyers, but hasn't always been so easily available to your ordinary punter.
Now, is this the thing where you can find out if the house you're going to be buying perhaps is subsiding?
That's very much one of the key features here. Yeah, you'll really appreciate the value of this if you've put an offer on the home of your dreams and discovered that it's moving down the street at the rate of a couple of inches a year,
yeah.
Which has happened to me in the past.
I think it's happened to a lot of people.
Yeah, there are certain parts of South London